message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you join us again today. We trust that our time as we study the Word of God together will be a real blessing and help to you. It's our prayer as we put these broadcasts out that we might can help you to understand the Word of God so that you can enjoy the Word of God, so you can see the Word of God go to work in your life. Paul says to the Thessalonians that he thanked God that when they heard him, they received what he said, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God that effectually works in you that believe. It's faith in God's word that releases the energizing power of that word to work in your life. You can know what the Bible says, and it's of no power in your life. But when you believe what the Bible says, and you know, when I got saved years ago, I don't know, maybe I was just dumb, but I just thought you were supposed to believe what God said. And you weren't supposed to decide whether you believed it or you didn't believe it. You were just supposed to believe it because it was right. You didn't sit down and say, now, do I want to believe and obey this verse? You just did what God said to do, you know. Sort of like when your mom and dad, when you were small, told you to do something, you know, you never thought about, well, do I really think this is a wise decision for mankind? You just went and did it. And then you grew up, you know, and you got to questioning. And too often with believers, we grow up into rebellion. Because to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is not to grow into independent thinking. It's to grow in dependency upon Him, which means dependency upon His Word. Every contact you have with Almighty God outside of the pages of His Word is on an inner subjective level. And the only way you have of discerning whether the spiritual contact you're making is with Almighty God or with some other spirit is by the objective standard of the Word of God. See, that's what's the matter with the New Age stuff. The New Age movement and the New Age message is only the old lie of the devil that goes back to Genesis chapter 3 when he told Eve that you can be as one of the gods. And all the God makers and the channelers and all the rest of the stuff and getting in touch with that inner spirit. And, you know, it goes back to Luke Skywalker and the force be with you and talk to that force within you. And you can watch it on the, you Trekkies watch it and see them doing it on the shows and all that kind of business. And all that stuff is just the old satanic lie that you can be God. Well, you can't be God because you aren't God. And you know you're not God. I mean, if you think you're God today, then I tell you what to do. Just step out in front of your house and create your own universe, and you can be God. You say, well, I can't do that. You know I can't do that. I know you try. See, you try to make your own little universe intellectually and economically and socially and religiously and politically, and you try to make, but you can't, see. You've got to steal God's earth and God's breath and air and food and light and life. I mean, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and you have to steal His universe to make yours. See, you're not God, you're a crook. Now, that's what you are. No, the Bible says you're of your father, the devil. And he was a liar from the beginning. And see, when you try to be your own God, that's what you are. You're just a liar. You're a liar and a crook. You're intellectually dishonest. Oh, I didn't tune in to hear all that. I know you didn't. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you don't know for sure where you're going to spend eternity, you don't know for sure that you're going to go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ when you die, and you don't know for sure that all your sins are forgiven because you've placed your faith and confidence in what God has done for you at Calvary to save you, then all that applies to you. You say, but you don't understand, Brother Rick. I live for the best and the highest. I'm glad you do. I hope you do. But it doesn't make a lot of difference. The answer is not to trust your righteousness. It's to trust somebody a lot better than you. Somebody that never made a mistake, never sinned. Somebody said one time, to go to heaven, you got to be perfect. Well, that leaves you out, doesn't it? Sure does me. You see, you say, well, nobody can be perfect. That's right. That's what the Bible calls sin. And that's the reason Jesus Christ, when he went to Calvary, died to pay for your sins. He was perfect, and you're not. So the just died for the unjust that he might bring us to God. And then he gives us his word. And every contact you have with Almighty God is going to be measured by the pages of a book. You get you a King James Bible and you start reading it, and you find Romans to Philemon in a King James Bible, and you'll find out how to measure whether you're in touch with Almighty God or not. And you say, well, what about the subjective inner feelings that I have, and what about these contacts that I have and all this stuff and these people that are saying that? You say, well, what that is they're in touch with somebody other than Almighty God. Because, you see, that's what the Word of God is designed to do. It's the Word of God. It tells you His mind, His thinking, what He's doing, what He's saying. You want to be in touch with Him? Well, you listen to what He says. That's the reason Paul says, the Word of God which works effectually in you that believe. It's believing God's Word that allows God, the Holy Spirit, to take the truth of His Word and set that truth free and energize your life. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior today, this would be a great day to do it. This would be a great time to do it. I'll wait to the end of the program, or somebody's going to give you some kind of a place to kneel or something to do. Listen, right where you sit in your heart, God Almighty wants to see your faith resting in His Son. Why? Because He said so. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's your responsibility to make a personal choice to trust and rely upon and rest in His Son as your Savior. And when you do that, that instant God saves you. Takes you and places you into living oneness with His Son, baptizes you into Christ, makes you complete in Him, blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place, and everything that belongs to Jesus Christ becomes yours because you become one with Him. That's wonderful. That's what it's all about. Then after you do that, you begin to get in the Word of God and begin to study. And as we're studying Romans chapter number 9 today, we're going to deal with an issue. Really, that's what I'm talking to you about here. Romans 9, verse number 30, Paul asks the question, what should we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained unto righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Now, what Paul's doing here is he's going to start explaining why it is that God set the nation Israel aside. Why was it that Israel failed? We've talked to you about it over and over. I'll put it up here again. And, you know, somebody says, well, Brother Rick, you draw the same chart. Well, not because I'm talking about the same thing. And I got to tell you, I get phone calls every now and then, a letter every now and then. And somebody says, Brother Rick, you need to slow down a little bit. You talk too fast. And I have to apologize to you. I know I get excited, and I know I get to talking fast, and I get to running on. And I just have to confess to you that I've tried my dead level best to do differently, and I failed. So when you see me doing it, it isn't because I'm unconscious of the fact that I need to slow down. It's just that I just get so wrapped up in what God's Word says, and there's so much of it, and so little time to get it out. And so I apologize to you for sometimes talking a little faster than maybe you can take it in. But that ought to encourage you to know there's more to know. And that you ought to be able, listen, as slowly as I talk, you can think a lot faster than I talk. Your mind can think about three times as fast as you can talk. You can certainly get going faster than I am. So don't listen slow, listen fast. And understand, folks, there's something to be excited about in all this. And I sometimes get excited about it. And I know some of you watch, you know, you think, how in the world could anybody get excited about some dumb thing like that? Well, that's the way you look at it. See, you think it's dumb. You don't think it's real smart and wise. But the Bible says that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. So it doesn't bother me when you think this that studying the Word of God isn't relevant and it's kind of dumb. What you're doing is you're revealing your spiritual condition. And I know there's some saved people watch the program and they write and they say, well, you know, it's way over my head. Well, then what you need to do is get to studying your Bible and get a little deeper in the book yourself. Launch out into the deep. Don't just stand in water that comes up to your ankles or to your waist. Launch out where you can swim in it and get in the book and get some learning, get some understanding. That's what this program's about. It's designed to challenge you and let you understand there's a whole lot of stuff to learn. Now, if you're going to understand the Bible, you're going to have to know how to rightly divide it. There's time past where God deals with men on the basis of the distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. Then there's what Paul calls, but now. When that distinction has been changed and God has set the nation Israel aside and now everybody's down here on the same level, these are the vessels of wrath that are fitted for destruction. These are people down here that are cut off from the blessings and the program of God, and these people up here are in the position of honor and blessing. Jesus Christ, when he comes to these people up here. When the prophets came, they came to them. When the 12 apostles were trained, they were sent to them. But they made a mistake up here, and they come to the place where they're set aside. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the earthly ministry of Christ, fits up there. Book of Acts starts out up there. And I know somebody says, well, Brother Rick, why do you put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John up there? He's our Savior too. You know, when you go back here in these books, you need to understand, back in those books at that time, you're in time past, and you Gentiles, you're cut off down here. You didn't have any part in that. You were separated from that, cut off. You didn't have a privilege in that. And that's important to understand that. Those books fit in time past because God deals with the man back there on the basis of the distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. And that's where they fit. And I know somebody comes along and says, well, I just don't want them to fit back there, but it doesn't change anything. It's still back there. Jesus Christ dies at the end of those books, goes to Calvary, and dies under the sentence and the curse of unbelieving Israel. And the Gentiles who banded together with Israel to crucify him, he is resurrected. He ascends into heaven. The Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles here, and they go out in the Acts period and they minister. And then there comes a point in Acts chapter number 7 where God sets the nation Israel aside. They're placed down here and they're reshaped into vessels of wrath. And when they get down into that condition, God sets them aside. He saves a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the Apostle. And Jesus Christ from heaven's glory saves Paul and sends Paul out with a new message. A message of grace, not wrath. A message of grace, not law. A message for the church, the body of Christ, not Israel. A message that he calls the mystery or the secret, not prophecy. So this is an entirely new and distinct and separate message, preached by a new apostle, sent out not by Christ on earth, but by Christ in glory. So you have a new program coming along. And Paul says, when you get over here, now you need to understand that God has reshaped Israel and set them aside, and you need to understand the reason for it. Why did he do that? Did he do it because he just didn't love Israel anymore? Did he do it because he just was mad at them or something? No, he said there's a reason. Why is it that Israel didn't trust Christ when he came? Why is it that when John the Baptist came and spoke to them in the name of the Father, God the Father sent John the Baptist, the Word of God the Father? John was a man sent from God with the Word of God the Father, and Israel rejected him. They didn't respond, they rejected. God the Son himself shows up and speaks to them the Word of the Father, and they reject him. God the Holy Spirit comes and fills a little flock here and speaks through them to the nation Israel, and they reject them. What is it with Israel back here that makes them just reject, reject, reject? Now, I live in the Chicagoland area, and we watch the Cubs. And if you know anything about baseball, you know three strikes and you're out. And that's prevalent where I live. And that's what you got. They reject God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There isn't any other members of the Godhead to appeal to. So they were rejected. Why? Well, verse 30, he tells you. What shall we say then? Why has God reshaped Israel? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of what? Faith. You know what the Gentiles did down here? They didn't have any works to do. They didn't have any commandments to keep. They didn't have any sacrifices to offer. God didn't give them any. They were lost. They were under the wrath. They were cut off. They didn't try to offer all that other stuff. You know what they did? When the Word of God came to them, they just believed what God said. My friend, grace, the only response that grace will accept is faith. But grace demands the response of faith. Okay? The Gentiles did that. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, Israel had the law. They had the Word of God. They had the commandments. They had the service of God, the ordinances. We read about it in Romans chapter 9, the first five verses there, about all the privileges Israel had. They haven't attained to the law of righteousness. They had the Word of God and the law, but they didn't keep it. They had a wife and couldn't keep her. They had a law, couldn't do it. What's the matter? Why? Because, verse 32, they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, the rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know why Israel rejected, didn't receive her Messiah? Because they weren't walking by faith. They were walking by their own works and their own abilities. They thought they could do what God had required. You see, the law requires obedience. And they thought they could obey. And you know what happened? When they would obey it and do it and try to keep it, they did what? They'd fail. Now don't get mad at them. You know what that's like. I mean, the book says if you keep the whole law and offend at one point, you're guilty of it all. So you don't commit adultery and you don't murder and you don't covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant and you don't make any idols. You don't have any other god before God. And you keep the Sabbath day, and you honor your parents, and you do all nine of the commandments, and then you forget, and you bear false witness one time. Once. You don't do it, just do it one time. You know what you did? You're a lawbreaker. And he says you're guilty of them all. God Almighty will send a liar to hell just as fast as he will a murderer. And see, you don't want to believe that, I know. You want to think that God's going to send a murderer to hell a lot quicker than he's going to send you to hell. But that's not the righteousness of God. The justice of God is made up of two things. The holiness of God is made up of two things. One, his righteousness. That's a standard of absolute perfection. And two, his justice. That's the part of God that enforces the righteous standard. He has a standard of absolute perfection. You didn't get there, did you? All of sin comes short of the glory of God. So the Bible calls sin as just not being perfect as God is. You come short of God's perfection. Jesus said to Israel, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You hadn't got a prayer, forget it. You say, well, then what did I do? The justice of God says every time you fail, all you do is fail once, you're not perfect, I'm going to get you. And you're going to pay for it. The wages of sin is death. See, what would faith do back here? Faith would say, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't do it. I didn't keep it. I need help. Israel didn't walk by faith. They didn't learn what the law was designed to teach them. That is that they couldn't save themselves. They had to trust God to do it. They said, here, just whatever you tell us to do, we'll do it. Chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They had zeal to go do what the works, but they hadn't learned what the law was designed to teach them. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You see that? Now I guarantee, as they say down where I'm from, there are folks watching this program right now, and you're in the same boat, the same condition. Because Israel was a representative nation and represents clearly what man does when you give him a law and you give him a religion. He tries to do it. He tries to work. I mean, he makes every effort. He makes every good effort. He works. He slaves. He does. He's zealous. I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, that it's absolute perfection or you fail, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. See? They've gone about trying to establish their own righteousness, going about thinking they could do it. Well, I know I hadn't done it yet, but if I just keep trying, give me enough circumstances, situations, things to do, I'll get there. And you know what that is? That's an absolutely frustrating situation to be in, isn't it? You see, verse 5, he says, Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things shall live by them. You got to do them, and you don't. You know what Israel didn't do? They didn't believe that. They thought they could do it. So when the Savior, Israel's Redeemer, showed up, they weren't walking in faith in the Word of God. So when the Word of God personified showed up, they didn't believe Him. They didn't believe they needed a Savior because they still thought they could do it themselves. So when they crucified Him and God raised Him up and sent a message, another offer of repentance, they didn't think they needed to repent. They didn't need a Savior because they were going to do it themselves. And so God finally set them aside. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. You know how you get saved today? You don't get saved today going back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and trying to be like Israel. You get saved today by going over here in Romans through Philemon and Paul's epistles and being like the Gentiles. We'll see next time that Israelites get saved over here even when their nation is set aside. My assembly in Chicago, where we attend and minister, we have a number of Jewish believers of Jewish heritage. It's a wonderful privilege. Just a few days before I'm taping this program, an attorney in the city of Chicago got saved. One of our men is in his office, and he's his lawyer. He shared the gospel of grace with him and asked him if he knew where he's going to spend eternity. And he said he didn't. Asked him if he thought a man could know. He said he didn't know. Asked him if he'd like to, if he could know, would he want to know? He said, sure, everybody. Why wouldn't I? So he shared the gospel of grace with him, and that man got saved. After he got saved, he's just thrilled and excited about having his sins forgiven and knowing where he's going to spend eternity. He said, I want you to come and tell my wife. His wife's Jewish. He goes to share this gospel of grace with his wife. And now the Gentile man and the Jewish wife are in the body of Christ. You see, Jewish people can be saved today, but they don't get saved like you. They get saved over here with the gospel of the grace of God. Because you have to get saved by faith. You know what happened with the Gentiles down here? They didn't have any word, they didn't have any word, they didn't have any word. Then the word came to them, and they just believed what God said. And God saved them. These folks over here worked and slaved and kept the religion, did the commandments, did the sacrifices, did everything they were told to do, thought they could do, wanted to do. They had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And they went about trying to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You see, God Almighty took His Son and put Him on Calvary and made Him sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And you know how you get saved today? You get saved today by being like a Gentile, by coming by faith. He says, the Gentiles, which have followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Are you like that today? You say, I'm like a Gentile. I hadn't followed after righteousness. I hadn't tried to be good. And when I've tried to be good, I've failed. Now, you know, maybe you're there today and you're ready to understand that. You'd say, Brother Rick, I know that I need to know where I'm going to spend eternity. And I know I won't ever know it on the basis of what I do because I keep failing. I know to go to heaven you have to be perfect, and I'm not perfect. See, the Gentiles who sought not after right, they weren't perfect. But they found it because they found it by faith. You see, God says that God has made Him, Christ, to be sin for you. God took your sin and placed it on the soul and the body of His Son at Calvary. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And so Christ died for our sins. He took our sins and He took it out of the way. And then God raised Him from the dead and He came forth without any sin. And then he takes His life and gives it to us, places us in Him. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The way you get in Him is by faith. The Bible says, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, you'll be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you want eternal life, all you have to do is make a choice to rely exclusively upon Jesus Christ as your Savior, and His payment of death at Calvary is a complete and total payment for your sin, and that instant God will save you. That's the decision that God looks at your heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness and wants to see your heart making. It is a heart decision, a choice and decision of your soul. If you trust Christ today, God will save you. Why don't you do it right now? What do you decide? Well, I trust you'll decide to trust Christ. Why don't you write me and tell me if you have? If you have a question, we'll be glad to help you with that if we can. And join us again here next time. Until then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape you'd like to have go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Why Israel Failed. It sure is free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 319. That's tape offer number 319. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rather divided word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.